What's going on, guys? Your boy Elroy here, and welcome back to the Your Boy Elroy MMA Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Prep Egina, back again, getting ready to preview one of, if not the biggest UFC event of this year, 2021. But before we get to UFC 264, some quick news and notes. As well as, if you're listening to this for the first time, if you've been here for a while and have yet to leave a rating or a review, please do so. I will appreciate it immensely. If you enjoy the show, please let me know. If you don't enjoy the show, let me know what you don't enjoy about it. How am I supposed to get any better? But no, thank you so much for the audience that I've gained throughout the last 6 months. It is incredible what we've been able to do here at YBE MMA, and we're just going to continue to grow, and I am forever grateful for that. So with that being said, follow us on Instagram at YBE MMA Podcast, as well as buy our merch on Teespring, teespring.com/stores/YBE MMA Podcast. Let's get into some quick news and notes. First on the docket for this week is Bellator lightweight Nick Newell. A lot of you guys might be familiar with him because of his fight on the Contender Series, but he has since went to Bellator and, you know, has had three fights thus far. He's 1-2 in those three. But Nick Newell has an incredible story. Nick Newell is a MMA fighter with an arm and a half. He's missing his left arm from the elbow down. He has like that nub with the small fingers. And, you know, through all that, Nick Newell has amassed a 16-4 record in professional competition, and has really been an inspiration for a lot of people. So with that being said, even though he's on that two-fight losing streak, Nick Newell has a documentary coming out later this year in August, which I'm looking forward to because I want to know more about his story and how he was able to overcome. Like, this dude is submitting guys. Like, he's knocking people out. He is such an inspiration and someone that I think is the perfect person to make a documentary on, just because of how interesting he is. He's had a lot of really fun interviews and has just been someone who has really defied the odds. So look out for that this coming August, the Notorious Nick Newell documentary. So, staying in the Bellator lane really quickly, we didn't talk about it, but a few weeks ago, the news came out that Fedor Emelianenko is back and going to be fighting later on this year in Russia for Bellator against an opponent that has yet to be named. So everybody and their mom is looking for this Fedor fight, including, but not limited to, Junior Dos Santos, Alistair Overeem, Josh Barnett, and Jake Hager. Yes, you heard that right. The All-American American Jack Swagger, a.k.a. Jake Hager, is looking to get that fight with Fedor Emelianenko later this year. Now, him and Barnett did have a bit of a spat on Instagram, but for me, knowing those two guys, maybe they're setting up a pro wrestling angle or something similar to that, so I don't really think about it too much. But, you know, I think the best course of action would be a legend like JDS or Overeem. I just think that the, you know, Jake Hager fight just doesn't make any sense at all, in my opinion. He's fought nothing but cans since he started in Bellator, which is fine because he's never had a professional fight. So he should be fighting Cairns. But to think that he can go from fighting Cairns to fighting one of the greatest heavyweights of all time, I don't care how old he is, he's still one of the greatest of all time. It's just a tough sell. So I totally expect it to be, you know, a JDS or an Overeem. And I'd actually look forward to that. Sticking with the AEW theme, which is fairly heavy on the show this week for some strange reason, but AEW finally went back on the road. They were in Miami this week. I believe next week is Texas, and then the week after that, Charlotte, North Carolina. Your boy will be there. But yeah, we had some MMA integration on the AEW broadcast this past week. Fortunately enough for AEW, Coconut Creek, Florida is not very far from Miami, Florida. And we all know that one of the greatest gyms in MMA is located out there in Coconut Creek. And their owner is a massive, massive wrestling fan and has been on shows and continues to be on shows. Recently with MLW, before with Impact Wrestling, and now he got to cut a promo on AEW, and that is American Top Team coach Dan Lambert. He cut a hell of a promo, you know, even throwing out the plug for Dustin Poirier. I thought that was awesome. I really enjoyed the, you know, being able to see Jorge and Amanda on that broadcast felt really special because they're such big stars. And to have, out of the whole team, you know, the whole team, there's very, very big stars, but two of the best to accompany Dan Lambert to the show and just be seen sitting there taking in the show. It was really cool to see, man. There was something because, you know, Jorge Masvidal was on Embedded on like Tuesday or Wednesday morning, whenever Embedded came out, he was on it. And yeah, I guess he flew to Miami really quick, you know, and got to be on TV, which was awesome to see. I can't wait to see him fight again. But that made me think, like, who would I like to see transition, you know, to pro wrestling from MMA? Maybe they're on the tail end of their career, or maybe they're just charisma just stands out, you know, and is undeniable for a pro wrestling role. And, you know, obviously McGregor would make a amazing pro wrestler in the promo sense. You know, I think that he'd do great at reading a script. Now, when he's coming off of things at the top of the dome, you know, I think a few of the things that he says is kind of corny. But besides that, you know, he has the look, he has the charisma. And I think that he could recite the lines that someone would write for him. Another person I would love to see is Yoel Romero. That dude is, as Joe Rogan said, built like an action figure. He's charismatic as hell, even though you don't know what he's saying. And I speak Spanish, and I don't know what the hell he's saying. So I can only imagine you guys who don't speak Spanish. But I just think that he just has such a unique look. And, you know, in MMA, he's good at everything. So I really won't be worried about, like, booking him. And I guess a third person, a third pro wrestler. You know what? I think that if DC was still fighting, I think that he would have been a phenomenal pro wrestler. Now, obviously, the look isn't there, but I think that he cuts a damn good promo. And obviously he could work, you know, he's 250 throwing guys around, we all know DC could do the work. And I'd love to see him as a commentator. You know, if he just wants to switch from MMA commentary to wrestling commentary, I think that he could do that pretty seamless. That's all the news for this week. Let's get into some quick fight announcements, courtesy of MMA underscore Fight Night Live on Instagram. Thank you so much, MMA Fight Night Live, for your constant posts and allowing us to know who has been booked recently. I think that this is a must follow for any MMA fan who uses social media like Instagram. So first fight being Paul Craig versus the returning Alexander Gustafsson. We have the rebooking of Sean Brady versus Kevin Lee. We have Diego Fajera versus Grant Dawson, which is an incredible fight. Grant Dawson is a phenomenal talent. We have Pani Kianza versus Raquel Pennington, the returning Raquel. It's been a while since we've seen her. We have an incredible fight at 145 pounds. Edson Barboza versus Giga Chikadze. That is a fire fight. Number 9 versus number 10. Giga Chikadze gets his chance to continue to go up the ladder. Congratulations, Giga. That is going to be a barn burner. A fight that came out of nowhere. I don't know why this happened, but Kyle Daukaus is getting his shot at a ranked opponent, Kevin Holland versus Kyle Daukaus, for later on this year. First off, I like Kevin Holland. You know, we've had our differences. I think that he backs up what he says. We'll just say that. You know, he's there to fight, and that's what he's there for. He doesn't care if he's getting taken down for 5 rounds. He's there to fight, and he's going to try to do his best, you know, and be a contender. But unfortunately, in my humblest of opinion, and not because I enjoy watching Kyle Daukaus because he's, you know, a hometown boy, but this is an awful matchup for Kevin Holland. You know, Kyle Daukaus, 1, can take a punch, and 2, can give a punch, and 3, and most important, his ground game is phenomenal. So for Kevin Holland to take this matchup against someone like Kyle Daukaus, who can probably neutralize those strikes that you're throwing, you know, and probably drag you to the ground and submit you, this is a tough matchup, man. You're about to lose your number in a few months, man. But shout out to Kyle Daukaus, man. This is crazy. I thought he was on the UFC's, like, shit list for losing that last fight. But, you know, he's getting his chance at a ranked opponent. I'm excited for it. We finally have the booking of Petr Yan versus Aljamain Sterling 2, which I'm looking forward to. We have a phenomenal fight at women's strawweight. Verna Jandiroba, number 13, versus Amanda Ribas, number 11. This is a great fight. Unfortunately, you know, I'm not gonna root for anybody here, but I love Amanda Ribas, and Verna is slowly climbing up my ranks of one of my faves in the female strawweight division that's not the champion. So this should be a great, great fight at women's strawweight. And the last thing we have is Matt Schnell stepping in for the injured Askar Askarov against Alex Perez. This is a fantastic opportunity for Matt Schnell to move up the ladder. He's right now at number 9, and he's going in against the number 4 guy. If he could really show out and hopefully finish this guy, you know, maybe we'll see Matt Schnell in the title picture sooner rather than later. But that's all this week's fight announcements. Thank you once again to MMA Fight Night Live for the coverage. Let's get into what everybody's here for, the UFC 264 preview. You know, it's very rare that we come off of an MMA off week. You know, this almost never happens. But when it does, it comes back with a fantastic card. And UFC 264 is nothing short of fantastic. Starting off in the early prelims, we started off with Omari Akhmedov versus Brad Tavares. We have the return of Jennifer Maia. She'll be taking on Jessica Evil Eye, which I can't believe is still signed to the promotion. This is a great fight. Really under the radar. Obviously, the hardcores are picking up on these next two fights that we're about to say. But this one right here, circle it on your calendar. Trevin Giles versus Dricus du Plessis. That is going to be a phenomenal fight at middleweight as these guys continue to try to climb up the ladder and get ranked in their division. At 145, we have the return, finally, of Ryan Hall versus a tough, tough opponent in Ilia Topuria. I love watching Ryan Hall. He is a wizard. And, you know, as fun as Ilia Topuria is to watch, this is a tough, tough fight ahead for him, man. Ryan Hall is no punk. Even though it's been about 2 years since he's been in the octagon, you can't help but be excited. You know, he is a jiu-jitsu wizard. And for me, that's like one of the most exciting things to watch when watching an MMA fight. If you got a great jiu-jitsu practitioner, man, there's almost nothing better than that. We have a wild fight. Someone is either going to get knocked out by a strange strike like an up kick or a spinning back elbow, or this fight goes 3 rounds and Michelle Pajeda has done 6 backflips. This is going to be crazy, man. Nico Price versus Michelle Pajeda. I really enjoy watching Pajeda. I know a lot of people say that, oh, you know, you have to take it seriously. And I think he does. That's just him. He's a weird dude, man. A weird dude. But I take it because his fighting is so much fun to watch, man. He's crazy. He's never standing still. He throws the most insane strikes, you know. Almost every punch is a Superman punch. That's just what he does. And then the featured prelim, a tough one for Carlos Condit against Max Payne Griffin. That's going to round up your ESPN prelims as we move on to the main card. The returning Sugar Sean O'Malley takes on the debuting Chris Montino. This is tough because as talented as I understand and see that Sean O'Malley is, how talented he is, I just don't like the guy, like him. I'm not like a fan of his. I think he's a great fighter. I really do. But like his personality is so lame. He's like this strange, obviously, you know, he believes in that number. He believes in his follower count on Instagram. But I don't know, man. I think that this Chris dude, if he's hungry enough, even though, you know, in Embedded, he kind of like sold himself short. Like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to win or I don't know if I'm going to lose. Bro, be confident. You're going to win. You never say stuff like that, dude. But he's worried about having a good fight. Hey, if you give me that, I respect you. But I respect you even more if you're able to finish this guy. So we'll see what Chris Montino can do against Sugar Sean O'Malley. We have a great fight at women's bantamweight. This could possibly, you know, be the next title challenger after the winner of Amanda versus Juliana. So we have Irene Aldana versus Yana Kunitskaya. Kunitskaya has been on a really fun run, and Aldana unfortunately lost to Holly Holm, which kind of derailed her momentum after knocking that girl out senseless. But I think that, you know, if she can string two or three wins, she'll be right back where she was, and we'll be talking about her versus Amanda Nunes pretty soon. We got some heavyweight action. Actually, the only heavyweights on the card, which is weird, but we have Tai Tuivasa versus Greg Hardy. The fun part about this fight is that you know it's going to be contested on the feet. You don't have to worry about anybody shooting. Greg Hardy is someone who has to, I think both these guys have to cut down to 265. But for me, if Hardy can land the tougher shots, we've seen Bam Bam go down. So, and we've seen Hardy go down. You know, if Ty catches him, you know, Greg Hardy is someone who, in his last few fights, if he's getting finished or he kind of gives up. It's tough to watch, but he's so young in his mixed martial arts career that you want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But it's tough. We'll see. I don't even know how to call that fight. You know, obviously the experience edge is with Bam Bam, but what hunger is there? And moving on to the co-main event, my 2020 MVP of the first half of that year, Gilbert Burns, taking on one of the most fun fighters to watch in Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, South Carolina's own. I don't know how close that is to where I'm at right now, but if it's close enough, I might try to hit that gym and see if I can talk to Wonderboy one day, or even his dad, because his dad probably has a lot to say about his career. He's been there the whole time, so I'd even enjoy that. But that should be a fun fight. Really interesting fight, because Gilbert constantly is moving forward, and you know, Thompson picks at you at distance. And I'm curious how that's going to work. You know, can Gilbert overpower him? Is Gilbert going to take him down? Is Thompson just going to be piecing him up? I can't wait, man. This is so unpredictable. But let's talk about the main event. You know, we all know what it is. It's Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor, part three. And I've watched part two at least four times before hitting record on this Thursday night. And, you know, I waited till Thursday because I really wanted to watch the press conference, and I've consumed every piece of media that ESPN MMA has put out, that, UFC has put out, obviously MMA Fighting, my freaking heroes, those guys, obviously everything that they put out. And from all accounts, this is no different than that second fight. That first fight, don't even bother looking at it. But this second fight that we watched earlier this year, I think can be replicated here with the outcome. I think that Dustin is just so far ahead of Conor when it comes to the modern day fights. You know, Conor had his thing for his time, and since then he's just deteriorated into this, you know, single focus, and it's really hurt his ability to fight. Now his ability to draw is not in question. I've watched the press conferences, I've watched, you know, the weigh-ins will be in a few hours, and I'll watch that, and I'm sure that this is a Conor McGregor crowd. But judging by the press conference that I just saw, Dustin is not fazed. As a matter of fact, with Conor McGregor going back to the way he was before these last two fights, I believe, because he had the Cerrone fight where he was a really nice guy, and then obviously the Dustin part two fight, where he gave him, excuse my language, a verbal blowjob. Like, it was ridiculous how much these guys hugged before stepping in that cage. But here's my one thing that I'll give to Connor. Do I think that his kids cause a distraction? Hell yes. I have an almost 2-year-old, and I know that I get distracted incredibly easy when I'm spending time with her, or when she's even around. We don't have to be spending time. She could just be in the same building, and you know, I'm distracted because I'm just worried about her. Go back and watch the second fight. It's on YouTube. Watch it now. And look at after they announce the combatants. And, you know, Herb Dean, you're ready, fight. Watch how Connor rushes out the gate and has to get, like, placed back. So, me personally, that would throw me off and throw my game off for at least a few minutes, if not that whole first round. And Connor was still able to land big shots. Unfortunately, with 45 seconds left in that first round, Dustin started to chop away at that leg. But you know, Connor was able to land even into the second round. But the thing was, Poirier landed more efficient. I think Connor missed too many shots. He's going to have to, you know, find range a lot better in this fight and execute, man. Like, he did hit him last fight, but he could have hit him more. If you look at the fight itself, you could see he's missing a lot. And listen, me personally, I don't give a damn who wins. I'm here to see a good fight, but if I had to put money on it, it's kind of hard not to put money on Dustin Poirier because of what he was able to do. And he's not going to regress in 6 months. You know, if he's been training hard, he's only going to get better. And they're clearly going in there with a second game plan because, you know, I totally think that he's going to try to throw leg kicks for about the first minute and a half. And then once Connor checks one really good, it's over for that. And I think that wrestling and jiu-jitsu are going to play a big part in this fight. Whether Connor likes it or not, this is mixed martial arts, not striking arts. So this is a great card. This is a fantastic main event. And it's going to be a full jam-packed crowd at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. And hey, the winner of the main event, we could totally expect them to fight Charles Oliveira later on this year. So who doesn't like big stakes like that? I like big stakes. I actually just had one. LOL, dad joke. But this has been this week's episode of YBE MMA. I am Josh Prepagina. You can find me on all forms of social media, Elroy Preps in one word. You can find the show on Instagram at YBE MMA podcast, as well as Teespring, teespring.com/stores/YBE MMA podcast. If it's your birthday, happy birthday. Enjoy the fights this weekend, and we'll see you next week.